Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Chase Daniel has come into the game at quarterback. He's the backup, longtime backup, 11 years in the league. When Trubisky got hurt earlier in the season and missed the game in London and missed the part of another game, almost two full games, it was Daniel. So for whatever reason, here's Chase Daniel.
I don't see anybody over there looking at Trubisky.
I don't either.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
It's all a big mess again. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth last night. Thank you to our guest today, Allen Robinson. Tomorrow, Kyle Brandt at 12:30. John Vancura likes the Chiefs and the over tonight. That's his parlay play for the Monday night.
I love it.
Yes. Good luck, John. Crosstalk is brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death Illinois. Driving, biking, or walking responsibly near roadways really is a matter of life or death. Learn more. Share the story of lost love at lifeordeathillinois.com. Phones are lit. We can maybe even squeeze in a few calls.
And
but
we will.
Time, Waddle and Sylvia will service the listeners this
afternoon.
Let's take
some calls during Crosstalk.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Yeah.
We're going to do that. Hey, let me throw a real quick thank you out to JMO Live. Was there yesterday with our good friends from White Claw for the Bears game. A lot of people disgruntled with the kicker. Not very happy with Tres Caballeros, or Uno Caballeros, which is what he likes to call himself. So we had a good time, a ball. Chris Hulka was the main man for White Claw.
Sergeant Hulka?
We're working on something, Carm. We're working on something special for
something
March.
Big.
I want you to know
those
that.
Those guys are
big.
Great.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Love the White Claw.
All right,
guys.
So thank you for allowing me to
I had three
do that.
Last night.
Did you really?
Yeah, three White Claws.
I should have had
good.
Five.
Good. Well, I had half a bottle of wine with it, too.
You're a chaser.
And then he got up to go to the bathroom, and he hit his hip on the table,
exactly.
On the coffee table.
Couldn't
so then he had to shut her down.
But it took 25, 30 minutes for it to really take
that's
effect.
Well, you know, the older you get, the you know, it takes a while for that stiffness to set in.
I'm
talking about the hip.
There's so, yeah, the stiffness.
I'm talking about the hip.
Well, there's Blue Chew for that if you need it to help the stiffness set in. So there's so much from last night, guys.
What do you think he said to him? I still can't believe we drafted you over.
He did not. He wasn't
that's
here.
What he's saying.
He wasn't here for that.
No.
I mean, what do you think he could have said?
It wasn't that.
He had his arm around him. What are the things
I know what he said.
He
gave him the same kiss that Michael gave Fredo.
Yeah. Here's my guess.
Same kiss.
Regardless of what he's going to tell all of us. Matt Nagy got up in front of the media today and announced that it had nothing to do with his play, that it's absolutely about the injury. I don't think any of us really believe that.
No. Yeah, if he was playing better, yeah, I mean,
you probably don't make a change. And my guess is he pulled him to the side. He said, "You hurt your hip. You're not playing well." I'm serious.
And Mitchell, huh?
Huh? You're not playing well.
What do you mean?
Our season's over in 3 minutes if we don't score twice. I don't think you can score.
Really? You think he was that?
I mean, that's blunt and wonderful.
That's
and
what I think
I hope, but I don't think the kid can handle that type of information.
Yeah, I think he said, Mitch.
I think he said, I got you.
We've gone as far as we can go on the bad hip.
And he's running his hand through his hair.
I got to go.
Because you know.
Maybe he didn't say, I don't think you can score, but I think he said, my season's over in 3 minutes. I need two scores.
Okay. Now, wait a second.
And you're not going to get
Matt has seen Mitch stand at the podium and say something and then look to his side and say, can I say that?
But,
so, I mean, Matt can't tell Mitch something
like,
that Mitch could go to the podium and then air him out with.
Yeah.
You just couldn't.
How about this? He had his arm around him and he said, I screwed up the kicking situation 3 weeks ago so badly with communication on the hash. Let's create an even bigger stir now.
Right.
You say that you got hurt in the second quarter. I'm going to say it's in the fourth quarter. And we're going to prove to Chicago that they're right, that we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah. You say it happened at halftime. I'm going to say I knew about two series before. Then tomorrow when I address the media, I'm going to say, no, I knew all along that he was hurt at halftime. Like, what?
The communication system with this team. I mean, who's on the other side? Who did we used to joke if the headset's really connected? Didn't we used to joke that about with someone?
Was it about, a coordinator. We used to wonder, is the headset connected, didn't we?
All I know is I have it.
Was it Georgia, right?
Was it Shoop?
It was more recent.
Far,
it was definitely much more recent.
Was it Terry Shea? I don't know.
No,
it was
more recent
than
that.
Mike Tice?
No,
Mike Tice. I think it was. I think it was Mike Tice.
The defensive coordinator that went down and became the defense coordinator at Georgia.
No, it was an offensive guy.
It was
Mike Tice because we had heard that Mike Tice used to have to go into the other coaches' rooms to help formulate the game plan. And then so we started making a joke that he's actually not on. There's nobody at the other end of the headset, or that he's just listening to music.
Yeah.
You know, that there's, you know, he's calling the plays.
If Mike Tyson was listening to music, what kind of music would he listen
rock
to?
Rock and roll. Oh, Motley Crue.
Would it be the crew?
Poison.
Did you hear about that concert,
Slaughter?
By the way?
No. Slaughter?
That's the concert of the event of the summer, I believe. It's Motley just Crue? Being announced. Motley Crue with Poison and Def Leppard. Stadium tour.
All summer.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Wow.
That'll last a week and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And the wheels will come off that thing.
Forget
10 days
about it. Kind of like the Bears offense.
Exactly.
So
somewhere in a quiet room in Bristol, John Fox is having a chuckle.
Oh, so what are we doing here now? Now we're going to Chase Daniel. I mean, like, what's the point of all this?
So you think he is going to play Chase Daniel?
I think he'll probably play. I don't know how you can avoid it. I mean, you're telling everybody that Mitch is legitimately hurt. I don't know how you can avoid that for at least a week, right?
How often do quarterbacks miss, Yerk, with a hip pointer?
2 weeks. I had one of those 2 weeks. But mine was instantaneous. I knew I was hurt. I got pulled out of practice. So I think I missed 9 or 10 days. I took a cortisone shot after day 8. Got back into the mix. I had to make the Packers, man. It was my first year, Holmgren's first year. Had to make it happen.
Listen, if the doctor clears him to play, he plays. I mean, there have been plenty of young quarterbacks in this league that have had a really difficult season, and you play it out. Yeah, you face the adversity, and you ride it out, and this is what you're here for. You don't sit him down because of any other reason. Like, if he's rattled, if he's hurt, if he's cleared to play... You get out there and you play.
And that's what he said. Maybe he said if he's healthy, he's playing.
Yes. Maybe he shocks everybody and digs his way out of it. I don't know. But, I mean, what's the point of playing Chase Daniel? If you were going to do that.
The only reason you play Chase Daniel is because really the doctors have said he can't play.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you don't. Listen, what you need now is 100% transparency. And by that, I mean you put him out there and he plays and he either digs himself out of a hole and faces the adversity and advances or he doesn't.
Yes.
But you can't go into the offseason this year having put him on the shelf to protect his
not for 6 weeks. I get it, but aren't they going to make sure the doctors say he can't play this
And
week?
I don't know who Tyler Palko is or who the next kid is, Taylor Hall or whatever his name is. Tyler Brand.
Tyler Bray.
Elliot Brand. Russell Brand. Whoever the kid is. I'm not looking forward to seeing him play because then it's really over. Then it's 4-6, Carm. I still hold out hope. You're playing the Giants and the Detroit Lions, Carm. Yeah. It's not really over.
Listen,
you could be 500 in 2 weeks. You can.
Everyone's talking about next year where we're going to have a competition. This is Mitch's competition right now. You play, you get better,
period.
You show that you can handle the adversity, and
period.
You go into camp next year as their starter.
Take a shot.
If you don't play or you play poorly, I mean, this is. Listen, this is professional football.
That's what we do.
What are
here.
You trying to do? Are you trying to protect his psyche? For what? He can either play or he can't play.
By the way, Tyler Bray is 27 years old. He's thrown one NFL pass. He's currently on the Bears practice squad, correct? Meaning that any team in the league, the 31 other teams,
could pick him up
for nothing. You don't have to make a trade for you just sign him to a. And so if anyone thought he could play, he'd be on their roster.
Yes.
He's been in the league for how many years? He's basically
terrible.
A coach to make things comfortable for Mitch because Nagy likes the room with Chase Daniel and Tyler
And you
Bray.
Know what? This is the point in time where make it a little uncomfortable. Why does everyone need to be coddled?
Yeah.
Why does you know, you got a group of receivers dropping a half a dozen balls a game. You got a kicker who's missing a kick.
Terrible.
Oh, missing another kick. I mean, sometimes you're not destroying your team by suggesting guys aren't doing their jobs well. So, I mean, you don't need to make everything nice, warm, and cozy. And it's with Mitch. And I'm not telling you Mitch is the only problem. That offensive line can't create any space in a running game. There's not a tight end on the roster right now that can do in Matt Nagy's offense what they need a tight end to do. Every receiver's dropping the football. The quarterback is an issue upon himself. But it's not all his point. But going forward, as long as the doctors say he can play, he's playing, damn it. I mean, that's what he's here for.
Right.
You're not sitting him to protect him from what?
Right. Why would you play Chase Daniel the last
You're not.
6 weeks?
You shouldn't.
It'd be ridiculous.
If you were
going to
make that change, you should have done after the Saints game.
Yeah. What you got?
If you thought you had a chance to rectify the situation, salvage your season, and go to the postseason, you would have made that so-called change weeks ago. You do it now, and all you're doing is prolonging these conversations, and you're just stringing out all of these unhappy things you're going to have to address.
Yeah, it would make no sense to
play him.
It would make no sense to play Chase Daniel the final six games. If you thought what Yurko thought all those weeks ago that the offense is better with Chase Daniel, that was the time to do it.
After the Saints game.
Not now. It'd be ridiculous.
Yes. JD was saying this morning that he thinks the Bears are going to still, that other experts believe that there's no way that he doesn't come back next year, Trubisky.
Well, there's a big investment.
Right.
In
if he does come back, though, Yurko, he cannot be your starter. Or at least you have to make him beat out another guy that you bring in here. You have to.
Who's going
to
do that? Ryan Pace is going to do that?
No, it's a great point.
Ryan Pace isn't about to put any real competition in here because he's got to massage Mitchie's confidence.
Well, his job depends on it, though, doesn't it? Because if his quarterback is crap after next year, he could lose his job.
If Trubisky isn't the future quarterback of this team, Ryan Pace is going to lose his job.
Unless he can find somebody to complement the defense well and they win games. Then you keep your job.
You know the only way you improve is playing. It's the reason why a lot of us wanted to see them play these guys in the preseason, especially for an inexperienced group and a young quarterback that didn't have a lot of experience. Now, I get it. They did their risk-reward evaluation, and they decided keeping guys healthy was more important than getting guys snaps in the preseason. We can have that argue to the end of time, and we did at the time. There's no chance he gets any better sitting because his psyche is damaged at this point. If he's cleared by the doctors, he plays.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, I don't know what direction you're sending this team. How are you supposed to get him right or evaluate him?
He's had times to take a breath during these little injuries he's had.
Yes.
Last year, this year. By the way, a late addition. Because of the confusion that we played from Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, we thought it would be interesting to go back to Al Michaels and just take us through what he saw firsthand. Yeah. So Al Michaels is going to be really good with his time. He was on with us, I believe, last Thursday.
Yeah.
He's popping on right at the start of the show at 2:30. Right.
Very good.
So the great Al Michaels back with us here in just about
15 minutes. That's the other thing. They don't do any
15 minutes.
They don't do these quarterbacks any favors. Tell Michelle Tafoya he's out with the hip injury.
Yeah. We were just talking about this.
I mean, I don't get it.
When Waddle drove me the other day, we were going, but somehow the Cutler game came back up, the NFC Championship game, and we were going through who did him wrong and who did him right. If you remember, Lovie Smith did Jay Cutler no favors.
Absolutely.
Lovie could have got on that podium after the game and said, Jay gave it everything he could. He could not go. He tried and he tried and he could not, but he left it wide open and nobody covered for Jay except Brian Urlacher a day or two later.
Yes, exactly.
I'll tell you this as well. The other thing I came away with was, and I asked this question all last week, would Sean McVay be smart enough to check his ego at the door and go away from what has made him the young genius, realize he's got three new offensive linemen, he's without his two top receivers, and I know Todd Gurley isn't the Todd Gurley from several years ago. He's got arthritis in every bone in his body. But pack it in, take the ball out of his quarterback's hand, and try to beat this team by running the football. And what did Sean McVay do?
He did it. 18 pass attempts.
Now, that's coaching. That's taking your situation and making the adjustments that are necessary to give your team the best chance to win.
And the Bears' defense only gave up 3.2 yards a rush.
That's true, but they kept doing it. But what he did was he took the ball out of his quarterback's hands and limited the number of opportunities that Jared Goff was going to gift wrap it. And he tried.
Yes, he did.
On a number of occasions.
Not only 18 throws, he tried.
When was the last time the Rams had a game where their game plan ended up with 18 throws?
Eric Dickerson was their running back.
That's my point. And coaching. That's coaching right there.
The crappy quarterback that they used to have. Vince Ferragamo?
Well, maybe Ferragamo. Who's the other one?
And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, I think I read something somewhere, and this is a very subjective evaluation, but I think the Rams' offensive line had their highest grade collectively in pass protection last night.
And they totally retooled it, right?
Yeah. Well, they had three guys that have never played.
60% of their lines hurt, yeah. And then no Robert Woods at the last minute. No Cooks and no Robert Woods at the last minute.
They did everything. Here, Bears. Here, enjoy. It's Christmas.
If you make a field goal, it'd be nice.
All of that, Yurk.
Be nice.
Away scoreless in that first quarter with the two turnovers?
Uno Caballero.
And again, explain to me how you give your guy an opportunity to kick a 48-yarder. He misses it. I get it. We're all shook on him. The next time you're in the same situation, you take it out of his hands
same
and say,
field goal.
I trust the quarterback more than I trust the kicker. It doesn't go well.
Fourth
you
and
get
nine.
Into the same situation a third time in the first half. Then you decide to go back to the kicker who you benched, basically, whose head's a mess, is spinning.
It's like he's doing rock, paper, scissors to decide what to do.
Each field goal was really about the same distance.
Right.
What are you thinking?
I mean, don't you send your guy out there all three times?
The second time, for sure.
If
he missed
the second time,
then you understand the third
right.
one. Look,
I'm with Sylvie on that.
But give him another chance to get back on the
he
horse.
He should go right back out.
You know, I said horse. And let him try again.
Yeah. Now, if he misses the second one, maybe you've got something to think about.
That's why I think they're...
But their heads are all spinning.
He's like, oh, okay, we're good.
And then, you know, Waddle was also explaining somebody called and said, why not... take the penalty.
To me, this is the simplest explanation of all. Okay, so you get
would have been fourth and short. Fourth and short.
You get the illegal contact. You ran into the kicker. It's fourth and less than a yard. It's standard. Run your offense back on the field. Try to draw them off sides because they're an aggressive defense. If they don't jump off sides, you take the 5-yard penalty and you re-kick from the place you kicked before.
Yeah.
What's the downside?
No. Yeah. Well, the downside, I guess, is they spring one on you, but I mean...
It's kind of like when you...
Kick and cover, that's the job.
It's kind of like when you're off sides and you elect a screen. Instead of,
that's another check down. Mitchell Trubisky is year...
Stuff.
He is in year three.
Yeah. Yes.
And he still doesn't know that when you have a free play... You should be chucking the ball down the field.
Now,
could that be true?
I read some people kind of protecting him and saying a lot of guys stopped on their routes. Oh. Still throw it downfield.
Well, why wouldn't you?
I don't know, but I haven't seen
nothing
the film.
Right.
And then shame on those receivers for stopping on their route, too.
Absolutely.
If
but
that's
they,
the case, shame they, on all of them.
But they had to be further downfield than the check route, the check down.
But what are you thinking, man? Mm. Free play. Throw the ball down the field.
Well, you should. This again, Carmen, is something you should be taught and reminded every single Friday at practice.
Good thing we have an offensive coach.
Or whatever it is. That if you got a free play, haul ass.
That's not something that you should be taught. We know that watching at home.
I'm saying this is something you should be reminded all the time.
Free play. Yeah. You know what's coming. Yeah. The quarterback's going to throw the ball down the damn field.
Yeah.
You don't need to be reminded of that in the NFL. Pee-wee players need to be reminded of that. They don't throw the ball. But, I mean, come on.
Yes.
Every one of us sits and watches football. When you see the flag, you go, ooh, free play.
Yes.
And this guy's throwing a check down. Are you kidding?
It's not the first time it's happened.
Crazy. It's happened like a dozen times. Yes.
Carm, you're going crazy.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, again? And I think I texted you guys. I'm like, he doesn't know to throw the ball down the field?
He doesn't.
Okay, that's the problem with Trubisky.
I mean, that's it, but it's insanity.
How many times you got to sit there and you got to hear it? Anytime he doesn't have to think and he could just use his athleticism, he's okay.
They started the game.
But when he's got to sit there and comprehend stuff, when he's got to go ahead and process a ton of information, he gets lost. He's in a cloud.
Well, you saw earlier in the game, I think they started the game playing up tempo. It's where he does whatever he does in an acceptable manner, he does it in that environment. And he let him down for, albeit a 48-yard field goal that was missed. I don't know why they don't continue to do this consistently. Play up tempo. Boys.
You want to take a call?
Go ahead.
Let's go.
Yeah,
it's a hot
take
mess.
A call. Joey's in Arlington Heights. What's up, Joey?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Just wanted to talk about Nagy and how I think he's getting a lot of the unfair blame here just because, as a coach, he's not the guy under center reading the defenses, making the throws. As a coach, you're supposed to put your players in the best opportunities to succeed, plain and simple. Mitch, week in and week out, misses wide-open wide receivers, is unable to comprehend defenses. He's a major handicap to what Nagy's trying to do on offense.
Joey,
at the end of the day...
Can I ask you a question, Joey? Because I'm getting this from Nagy supporters, too. And I used to be a huge Nagy supporter. I hear what you're saying. Mitch isn't good. So when Mitch is coming off an injury, and you see and he sees that Mitch is injured from the shoulder, he hasn't been good, he's back for the first time, you're off the bye week, your number one priority in the bye week is to fix your run game, and then you give up on your run game three plays in and run it a franchise low seven times. What's the defense then? That's the opposite of going away from Mitch. You elected to have your quarterback who is struggling and is hurt throw the ball all over the yard. How do you back that up?
Oh, Nagy is not without blame in this season at all. He is not without blame. But when your quarterback cannot consistently read defenses and hit open wide receivers, how are you supposed to have a successful offense? This man won Coach of the Year last year. Yeah, a lot of the offense was gimmicky at times, but a lot of that was because he was defending Mitch. He could only do what the quarterback is able to do. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of the blame at the top, it starts at the top, should come from Mitch and Ryan Pace, and probably Nagy third. But like I said, at the end of the day, he's not the man under center, missing wide open wide receivers, reading the defenses. And the best quarterbacks, at the end of the day, make something happen when there's nothing open on the field. And I've yet to see Mitch do that this season.
Do you guys realize that there have been 7 games out of 10 this year where they have failed to score an offensive touchdown in the first half?
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm not talking about first drive. I'm not talking about the first quarter.
It's bad.
I'm talking about the first half of 7 games
they have failed to score a touchdown. 300-yard game.
Yesterday, last night, they had 41 offensive plays. They had 0 points.
Do you know how hard that is?
Yeah, it's hard.
It's impossible.
Granted, your kicker inside of 50, but yeah, it's almost impossible.
All right, so Al Michaels is going to join us coming up next. All your phone calls, 232-3776. Akeem Hicks at 5, Dan Weider, but we're here for you today on another crap fest that the Bears served up to us.
Yeah. All right, boys. Waddle and Sylvie get you home next, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. It's ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
So the question is, can Trubisky be the Bears quarterback going forward? I mean, let's just address the elephant in the room here. So I went back and watched the last 4 games. Of course, he's coming off the shoulder injury and all the different things. And when he does right by his feet, when he settles his feet, he can be an accurate quarterback. When he's not perfect with his feet, he can miss in embarrassing ways. And so I think that as you look at him going forward, A, he has to play on the move. That's what he does best. And B, he has to be almost perfect with his football.
3rd and 1. Come up with a pistol. Trubisky. So it's the first time they line up in that formation, and maybe the last time.
Al, that's terrible. You can't run option football like that. If you're the quarterback, you got to take it to that unblocked guy and get about that close and then pitch it. If you come down here and stop about 3 steps into it, he can play both of them. You cannot run that play that way.
Now you've got Chase Daniel has come into the game at quarterback. He's the backup, longtime backup, 11 years in the league. So, for whatever reason, here's Chase Daniel.
I don't see anybody over there looking at Trubisky.
Neither. So what does this tell you?
It was so good because here you have two of the best in the business just not sure of what was going on. And one interesting part of the Matt Nagy press conference today, as he tried to explain things, and a lot of it made sense, and we'll play you some of the sound and how he clarified some of the things he said yesterday that made it look like they were conflictions to what Mitch Trubisky had to say. But one thing he said is that Chase Daniel was warming up, but no one saw that. Like, with all these cameras, NBC has got to bring in, like, 100 cameras.
Yeah.
With this nationally televised broadcast. And nobody saw Chase Daniel warming up?
Well, they show the still shot of Coach Nagy kind of in a tight embrace with Mitch with the play card up so no one could hear what he's saying. And Chase is standing behind him with a ball cap and still has his IFB or his earpiece or whatever he's using to listen to things in.
Almost like, hey, what's going on?
Right. Yeah, hey, dudes.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, this includes me?
I can't wear my ball cap anymore. I got to put on my helmet?
Look, to me, you look at this situation, you take a step back, and you say, was the hip hurt? Is it an injury? Yeah, I have no doubt that. I don't have any idea why they would lie about that. Do you also factor in that Mitch was struggling? Yes, I think you factor that in it as well. I think that was a combo decision. That the play wasn't adequate enough and the injury was also something that at the very least was bothering him. And you put it all together And that's why the coach decided to make the change.
We'll play you some of the highlights from that. Al Michaels coming up here momentarily. Wanted to get him back on now just to take us through everything and see what he thought with the explanation. Dan Weider today, Akeem Hicks, Mark Jean Greco. But we're here for you inside the First Midwest Bank studio, 312-332-3776. Really quick, Waddle. Yesterday, to me, was a microcosm of the season for the Bears, for me. Because I waited all day. You know, I had the kids by myself. My wife worked. Waited all day. We did a bunch of stuff. We watched a lot of football. It was this long wait to watch this game at night. It was a must-win game. And I was excited. I'm waiting. Like the song says, I'm waiting all day for Sunday night. And I'm waiting all day. Kind of like I was waiting all offseason with excitement. Can't wait to see what the Bears are going to give us this year, thinking that it was going to be good. Okay, here we are, last stand time, coming off a win in L.A. What do you got? And what'd they do? They served us a big crap sandwich again. And for most of my life, not counting the Ditka years, that's what they've served up to all of us, is one big crap sandwich, whether it's on Sunday Night Football or this season that we thought was going to be filet. This was supposed to be filet mignon.
No. That was not. You got spam. You got cold spam.
This was supposed to be filet, though. I mean, this was Bears 100.
You get a Vegemite sandwich is what you got.
It's just a microcosm.
Look, I think also you had, if you look at that game last night, it was a game between two teams, most important game for both teams. Both teams had to have this win. Both teams are dealing with some adversity right now. What did the Rams do? We talked about it all last week. We may have mentioned it to Al Michaels or in a question form or Mike Tirico. And I remember asking, how likely is it that Sean McVay is going to go away from what he knows best, and that's to open things up? And his football IQ tells him to check your ego at the door. I'm missing my two top wide receivers. My offensive line's a mess. My quarterback is playing horribly. And my running back is dealing with arthritis and is not the same explosive guy. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a risk-averse approach. We're going to pack it in. We're going to take the ball out of my quarterback's hands. And we're going to run it at this defense that absolutely murdered us last year in Chicago. We're not going to put ourselves in the same situation this year as we did last year. And that's exactly what they did. They attempted to run the ball 34 times and they threw it 18 times. They took the ball out of the hands of Jared Goff. The reason I'm mentioning it,
an early fumble by Gurley, how many plays in was the Gurley fumble?
It was the second carry of the day, wasn't it?
So remember when Matt Nagy told us, coming out when he wanted to redefine the run game out of the bye.
Right.
And then three plays in, he admitted that he gave up on the run.
Right.
What did McVay do after an early fumble?
He stayed with the game plan, and he basically said, we're going to make this adjustment, and it gives us the best chance to win, and that's what they did.
Al Michaels, always fantastic with his time, had a great call with Chris Collinsworth yesterday on Sunday Night Football, and we emailed him back, and we're like, Al, can you just take us through what you saw yesterday?
What the hell happened,
Al? And sure enough, Al Michaels, the great Al Michaels, so good with his time. He joins Waddle and Sylvie right now. All right, Al, you've had, 20 hours to think about it, 18 hours. What went through your mind when you saw the quarterback change?
Gee, I was just wondering what the story and the narrative is in Chicago today.
I bet you're shocked.
You know what it is, Al? The Blackhawks outscored the Bears this weekend 11-7. That's what the narrative is.
Uh-oh. Well, that's probably a one-off, but maybe not. We have to wait and see what happens down the line. When it happened, it was odd, obviously. You had a couple of minutes left in the game. It was a 10-point game. The Bears, weren't doing much, obviously. You had three timeouts, two-minute warning, and all of that. So it was very surprising, and Chris and I kind of looked at each other and thought, our thought process was, they can't really be making a change to Chase Daniel here, can they, under ordinary circumstances? So there was a part of us that felt, and I think Chris brought it up, unless there's an injury that we don't know about, this doesn't make any sense. So we didn't hear anything from the Bears for at least a couple of minutes. And obviously we have, Fred Godelli in the truck and Michelle's down on the field, and we have a good communication. with every team's PR staff, but there was nothing. There was nothing that we had, no information. So, you know, that always makes it uneasy for all of us, because now you get into the speculation situation. You don't know what's happening. You know, there's a part of me that wished that, you know, Matt Nagy could have his press conference at that particular moment in time, but obviously he could not. But the more we thought about it, the more we had to feel, and especially after we showed the tape, which we shot during the commercial, you know, of Matt whispering and talking very softly to Trubisky, that there was something going on. We didn't know exactly what it was. And then, of course, you know, we all know what was said after the game. We all know about the hip injury. We all know that, you know, some people think that that's a smokescreen. I have no idea what that is right now. But, you know, when you looked at Matt and we showed, you looked at Trubisky, rather, and we showed some of the plays toward, you know, the end, he looked fine. That doesn't mean he was fine. But, you know, if it happened in the first half, which apparently that's where it started, I mean, he came out and played pretty well first drive
right.
of the third quarter. So now you're really beginning to wonder, you know, what is this? So there's still a certain air of mystery about this.
Al, at any time did you or Chris or anybody, you know, on the crew notice Chase Daniel warming up on the sidelines at any point?
No, not at that point. We did not. And I'm not sure he warmed up for any great length of time, if indeed he did. But, you know, a lot of times what you'll have is, no matter whether there's going to be a change or not, the backup quarterback, I'm not saying it happens all the time, but occasionally you'll look down and the backup quarterback's just warming up.
Right.
In case he has to come into the game. So that would not have sent us a signal necessarily to see Chase Daniel warming up at that particular time.
Al, and you've got all those cameras, like you just said. Matt Nagy was asked today at the press conference why Chase Daniel didn't warm up. And he said, well, he did. He was warming up. He was throwing. And then the response, the follow-up was, well, no one saw it. I mean, not one reporter, not a fan, not a camera. I mean, is that shocking to hear that the coach said that he did, in fact, throw the football on the sideline?
Well, cameras catch most everything, but not everything. And it's conceivable that in that particular circumstance, with all of the cameras that we have, you know, you can't cover 100% of the acreage. So maybe he, you know, threw a couple of passes on the side. I don't know. But I have to assume that if he knew he was coming into the game, he warmed up to a certain degree. But we have no evidence of it.
There was a ton of Bears-related ineptitude out there last night. Al, what was there one thing that surprised you more than anything else about this Bears and the futility that was on display?
Well, I mean, you guys have seen it, the four-game losing streak and the way they started the first half against Philadelphia and Detroit. You know, had that one big spurt, those three series in a row against Detroit. But apart from that, you know, they looked a lot like they had looked when I'd gone back and watched the past few games over, let's say, the last month or so. So, you know, the more I think about it, guys, if I had to say that there's one thing that I think the Bears really missed this year, it's Jordan Howard. He lent a lot of toughness, got 1,000 yards on the ground. You don't have him. Tariq Cohen is going to be, you know, not your first and second down back. We know that. He's a great player, but he's not the first and second down guy. And, you know, it took Montgomery a while to get going, had a couple of, you know, good outings. But to me, I look at that and I'm thinking, you know, Jordan Howard is the kind of guy who really could have made a difference with this team.
Al, every time Khalil Mack has been on a game that you guys have done, or a national, any other national game for that matter, the guy flashes. He just loves the spotlight. He's never been more quiet in a game than he was yesterday. As you sort of think about that, is that just because they're game planning so much for him, or is he playing surprisingly quiet?
No, the game planning is a big deal. There's no question about that. I mean, you rarely are going to go one-on-one with Mack. There aren't too many guys in the league on the offensive line or tight ends or however you want to block him. I mean, he's always getting doubled, he's getting tripled, he's getting chipped. Very infrequently does he have a free run at the quarterback. And, you know, Sean McVay knows that going into last night's game. You would think, and I mentioned it during the broadcast, that, you know, Khalil Mack would be licking his chops because the Rams have been a mess on the offensive line, lost two starters last week. go with two rookies at right guard and right tackle, and those guys did a pretty good job last night, a really good job, in fact. So there's no one answer to what took place here. I think, you know, with and this is nothing that probably every Bears fan knows. You know, when you have Akeem Hicks and you've got Mac, that does make it easier for Mac. It's like, you know, Aaron Donald, I mean, as great as Aaron Donald is, and he is great, I mean, he's got Dante Fowler, he's got Michael Brockers, he's got Littleton who can, you know, blitz occasionally. So he's got some help up there, and he's great. He's phenomenal on his own. I don't know how anybody stops Aaron Donald, but with Mac, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you need two guys. You need a couple of guys, and I think Hicks is a guy they really miss a lot. Yeah.
Finally, Al, why can't we trust you with any of our kickers?
You know, I feel like I put the kibosh on Eddie because I was out on the field before the game, and I was walking around, and I saw him. And we interviewed Eddie. We brought him into our meeting. You know, we select a number of players. We always get the head coach and the quarterback. So when we were there for the Green Bay game, we brought Eddie in because, I mean, this was such a big story in Chicago. He wins the job. And it says, I think I may have even talked to you guys about it. It's as much fun as we have had in an interview with anybody ever. I mean, he was a blast. The stories were fantastic. And I said to him last night on the field, we were kidding around, and I said, hey, look, I think you still are number one, but you're being pressed right now because we did Pittsburgh at the Chargers a few weeks back. And when we brought Duck Hodges in, because that's when, you know, Roethlisberger obviously is out. Mason Rudolph had gotten concussed the preceding week. And we bring this kid in, Duck Hodges, who, you know, the duck caller, the world champion duck caller from Alabama. And he was phenomenal. So it was Pinheiro, and it's Duck Hodges, and then he misses a couple last night. And Hodges is back on the bench, so maybe, you know, maybe I'm the bad luck charm. But I don't know. All I can tell you, guys, I think it was last week when you asked me, you know, about the league this year and what I've seen, and I think it was something to do with most exciting player,
right.
Lamar Jackson. I said it last week. And yeah. By the way, I'm sticking with it this week.
Yeah, that's a good call. By the way, we talked to David Flom, too. Wherever you are in the country on December 22nd, he's going to send you fresh steaks.
I love it. Medium rare plus.
There you go.
You
perfect.
Thank you.
Al, you're the best. Thanks so much for coming out today.
Pleasure.
There you go. Al Michaels on NBC Sunday Night Football. He told us last Thursday that he didn't think that they would flex out of a Mahomes game. But if the Bears continue to be really bad, they may flex that game. Not before two more nationally televised games, though. Thanksgiving and then the Thursday after Thanksgiving.
2019 Chicago Bears football. The gift that keeps on giving.
312-332-3776. We're guest-free till Dan Wiederer joins us. Your thoughts on everything that happened last night involving Nagy and Trubisky.
This hour brought to you by NBC Sports Chicago. Remember, NBC Sports Chicago is your only place to watch the Bulls and the Red Hot Blackhawks this season. So go to NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah, they're good. How about Kirby Doc, huh?
Yeah.
Waddle and Sylvie talking Bears and Trubisky on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
So, Matt, part of this, I'm not doubting what you're saying, but part of the skepticism is I think that was a four-plus-minute drive the Rams had, and you said that you had made the decision.
Yeah.
Nobody saw Chase even warm up. What was
He warmed up. He was down there throwing and taking snaps from Cody. He was warming up throwing. I don't know where that came from.
Nobody saw it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know who nobody is. He warmed up. He was throwing and took snaps. So that's why, you know, I think that I don't know where that came from, but yeah.
That is odd. And Al Michaels said, look, cameras catch most of the things. They don't catch everything. But it wasn't like he was just playing catch down there. He says he was taking snaps from the starting center.
When was the picture, the still shot? Al said that they had that video at the break. That was after the touchdown was scored, was it?
Yes. It was during the time that Nagy had the...
right.
Yeah.
Okay, but
when he informed him that he was coming out of the game.
And that happened when they went to break after the Rams scored and then kicked the extra point, right? So that's the time when it happened. At that point, Chase Daniel still had his baseball hat on. He had
his
earpiece.
That's what I'm saying, right.
At that moment, because the still shot shows that.
And Nagy said the decision was made before they scored a touchdown.
Right.
Which is odd. So there was a lot of things that I could buy from today's press conference, and I don't doubt that Trubisky was banged up. I do doubt that if he was playing better, that they would have pulled him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that that was a combo decision. That was, he's banged up, he's got a little soreness, and he isn't playing well, and he's a little rattled, and he's shook right now, and this is a good time to take him out of the game.
John's in Northbrook. John, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, boys, love you, love the show.
Thank you.
I could say this to Nagy, that maybe nobody would be the 60,000 people in the stands and the 30 million people at home. I don't know. But usually the cameramen are looking for those things. Oh, look, there's a pitcher warming up, or there's a quarterback warming up. You're going to pan over to that generally. These guys are pretty smart. There's lots of cameras there. Anyway, I got to ask you, Tommy, who does – now, last year, we all know how we pace whiffed on Trubisky. We all know that. Okay, that was 2 years ago. Now, all he had to do last year was, hey, here's your job, Tommy. Just get a kicker. Just find us a kicker. Find us a kicker. And did he? What did he do for that?
Well, now, I mean, John,
did this guy kick for you again, Tom?
I have an interesting take on that. That so probably is going to take a little longer than a couple.
You
want to
do that at the top?
Yeah, we will. I'll just say this about that situation, about finding the kicker. Look, they've struggled to find the quarterback. Mike Glennon and Mitchell Trubisky are the two choices, and they've struggled to find the kicker.
It's been Cody Parkey, Connor Barth before that.
Yes.
And now Eddie Pinheiro.
They have found guys at other positions. It hasn't been a 100% miss rates. There have been hits. But they've struggled at kicker and they've struggled at quarterback. That's without dispute.
Let's stay with the last caller's neighbor. This is Mark in Northbrook. Mark, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey. Guys, so I'm a hockey coach too in the around here, and a goalie similar to a quarterback. And when they're not doing well, you pull them out. And I would have the same conversation that Matt Nagy had with Mitch. I get close to him. I say, "Hey, it's just a momentum thing. We're switching things up. Okay. If you're injured, you sit down. You talk to a trainer. You say, "Hey, it's a conversation. How are you feeling?" There was no conversation there. It was him talking, saying, "We're sitting you down." So that's my opinion.
Yeah, his rebuttal would be that his mechanics were so bad.
Right.
And Nagy reiterated that today, that he was, all of his throws were all arm. They were no body. He wasn't turning the hips.
Now, I can't dispute that. So, I mean, I think it's very difficult to question someone whether they're hurt, how bad they're hurt, whether or not you should keep them out or not keep them out. I will say this, Mitch has struggled with his mechanics with or without the hip problem. So it's hard to differentiate between whether or not, hey, Mitch is 100% healthy, or, hey, Mitch is just loose and careless with his mechanics. Because to me, as I've said to you for 3 years now, that's the one thing that sticks out more than anything else, is when you put on the film from day one, you look at some things that make you uncomfortable about technique and mechanics.
Yep. You want to get after that kicker thing coming up next. Yep. More of your phone calls, 332-3776. While the Bears remain undependable, my guys over at PermaSeal, 100% dependable. Guys, it's warming up now. We're supposed to get a lot of rain this week. How's your basement doing? We need it to be permanently dry. That's the center of my house. It's where my kids were yesterday. We're running around before the game, playing a little tackle football between the three of us. We watch the games there. We do everything in the basement. Is yours 100% dry 100% of the time? If not, you got to call my friends at PermaSeal. 1-800-421-SEAL. PermaSeal has been serving the Chicagoland area, Northwest Indiana, for over 40 years, since 1979, they are ultra dependable, so many great reviews, and they're going to fix any issue you have. And they're more than just getting the basement dry, whether it's basement plumbing issues, cracks in the concrete. You got to go to their website, check them out at permaseal.net. Do what I did. My basement's fine, but I still opted for the preventative maintenance plan. 1-800-421-SEAL. Call Roy Spencer and his team. They're going to hook you up right. PermaSeal, 800-421-SEAL. Waddle talks to us about the kicker and the shocking season that's developing right in front of our eyes next on ESPN 1000.